Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to this edition of our English feature program. I'm Philippa Hitchin. Coming up today, Catholics and Jews journeying together. A delegation of rabbis and Catholic bishops travels to Auschwitz in Poland and meets with Pope Benedict here in the Vatican. An African archbishop looks ahead to the next synod of bishops for his continent, scheduled to take place in October 2009. But first, Pope Benedict XVI makes a pastoral visit to the Diocese of Velletri. Welcome to the programme. Pope Benedict XVI made a brief pastoral visit on Sunday to the hillside town of Velletri, just a short distance from Castel Gandolfo, where he's been staying in his summer residence. As he celebrated Mass outside the cathedral there, the Pope recalled that before becoming the Bishop of Rome, he had for several years been a titular cardinal of the Diocese of Velletri. The Pope also reflected on this Sunday's Gospel reading about the parable of the dishonest steward, urging the wealthy of this world to be more generous in sharing with those in need. My colleague Charles Collins takes a closer look at what the Pope had to say.
The logic of profit versus the logic of solidarity. Pope Benedict says this is the choice that confronts us in today's world. The Holy Father was speaking Sunday during his Angelus message from Castel Gandolfo.
Che non sono in contraddizione l'una con l'altra purché il loro rapporto.
The Pope says that profit and solidarity are not always contradictory, as long as they are well ordered. The Holy Father pointed out the encyclical Centesimus Annus of his predecessor, Pope John Paul II. Who said the modern business economy has positive aspects and its basis is human freedom exercised in the economic field, just as it's exercised in many other fields. Nevertheless, Pope Benedict says that capitalism cannot be viewed as the sole model for a valid economy, pointing out that the problems of hunger and ecology show that if the logic of profit prevails, it increases the gap between the rich and poor, and causes the ruinous exploitation of the planet. The Pope was reflecting on the parable of the unjust steward, who was very shrewd in his dealings. It was also the topic of his homily during Mass earlier in the day.
To this Gospel reading calls us to be good stewards, people of integrity, seeking God's justice which is fulfilled in love.
The Pope was in the suburban diocese of Velletri-Segni, located about 35 miles southeast of Rome. Pope Benedict served as cardinal bishop of the diocese for 12 years before becoming pope. In his homily, the Pope quoted the words of Jesus, "No one can serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and Mammon."
Non potete servire a Dio e a Mammona.
After the Mass, the Pope blessed a 4-meter-high bronze column which will become a permanent feature of the Cathedral of the Diocese. It was a gift to the Pope by the towns of Bavaria in honor of his visit last year. He says he hopes it will be a sign of his affection and goodwill to the people of Velletri, for whom he says he cares for deeply and has a unique relationship.
And my thanks to Charles Collins there for that report on Pope Benedict's Angelus address.
Pope
Pope Benedict has sent greetings to the chief rabbi of Rome, marking the Jewish festivities celebrated in this month of September. In a message sent to Rabbi Riccardo Di Segni and the entire Jewish community here in Rome, the Pope says he hopes these festivities can be occasions of great joy and blessings, so that the will to promote peace can grow within each one of us. The Jewish New Year, or Rosh Hashanah, was celebrated from September the 12th to 14th, while Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, was marked this past weekend from September the 21st to 22nd, and Sukkot, or the Feast of Tabernacles, is held from September the 27th to October the 3rd. Meanwhile, a group of American rabbis and Catholic bishops were in Rome earlier this month as part of a study tour to promote the practical application of Catholic-Jewish dialogue begun by the Second Vatican Council. The tour included a visit to the Nazi death camp at Auschwitz in Poland and a meeting with Pope Benedict here in the Vatican. During the audience, the group leaders presented the Pope with their Nostra Aetate Award for the promotion of Catholic-Jewish relations.
The fact that we had been in Poland, and particularly at the concentration camp in Auschwitz, was very significant for him, and he endorsed the work and the importance of the theological focus of what our center is all about.
As the president of Sacred Heart University in Fairfield, Connecticut, Anthony Sonera was one of the leaders of this tour, together with the executive director of its Center for Christian-Jewish Understanding, Rabbi Eugene Korn. After their audience, I sat down with the two of them to talk about the aims of the tour and the current state of Catholic-Jewish relations. I began by asking Dr. Sonera how much of a priority he believes the dialogue is for U.S. Catholic bishops today.
I think the leaders, the bishops, understand how important this dialogue is and how important it was to Pope John Paul II, and also now how important it is to Pope Benedict. It's been clear by many of the gestures of this Pope that he's continuing in the footsteps of his predecessor to develop and enhance and deepen what is a unique and special relationship. So I think the priority is there. The efforts to help the bishops implement that priority in the life of the church is why centers like ours are, I think, vitally important in moving it to the next step, and why these educational programs, particularly with the younger generation, are critically important.
Can I ask perhaps, Rabbi Korn, whether you would agree with that assessment about how important the Jewish-Catholic dialogue is within the Church in America today?
I do agree. I think it is vitally important. I mean, we should remember that two of the first things that Pope Benedict XVI did when he became Pope was to go to visit a synagogue in Cologne. That was an enormous symbol and gesture both to the Jewish people and, I believe, to the Church on the importance of continuing the Jewish-Catholic relationship. And then he went to Auschwitz also, which was a very important gesture both to the Church and to the Jewish people. So I believe it's a vital priority for the Church here in Rome, as it is for the Church in the United States. And our role in the center is to help as much as we can implement the teachings of the Church and to, I would say, inform the Jewish community and the Jewish people of Nostra Aetate and the wonderful changes that have taken place in Church teachings relative to the Jewish people and to Judaism. I would say that the theological foundation for this relationship has largely been laid through Nostra Aetate and post-Vatican II documents. The major challenge now is the implementation of those documents and the education to the clergy and to the community on the pew level. That, I think, is what the key challenge is at the moment, and that's what, in many ways, what the mission of the Center for Christian-Jewish Understanding of Sacred Heart is all about.
It's a question, as you say, of reaching people in the pews, reaching people at grassroots level, isn't it? I mean, are you encouraged by what you see? Do you think these teachings from the very highest levels are getting through to people on the streets or not?
I think they are getting through, but not at a fast enough and effective enough pace. Even on the clergy level, I would like to see the education be more effective and more rapid. I think the will is there. It's an issue of really practical priorities more than anything else. I know the will is there. When we speak to officials within the church, they all are enthusiastically endorse this. It's an issue of practicality. So we try to create instruments, programs, be, in a certain sense, a bridge between the theological, the groundbreaking theological work that's been done and the understanding on the communal level.
We've seen Pope Benedict recently issuing the motu proprio, allowing a wider use of the so-called Tridentine Mass. And there is concern in some quarters that this return to a pre-Vatican II liturgy may also bring with it a pre-Vatican II mentality regarding the Jewish world and Catholic-Jewish dialogue. Do you share any of these concerns?
I think the response by the Vatican to the concerns that have been raised by many of us who are concerned and committed to Catholic-Jewish understanding is really very encouraging. Because almost immediately upon concerns being raised, the response both from the Secretary of State, Cardinal Bartone, as well as from Cardinal Casper, was we have to take seriously the concerns that were raised about the return to the 1962 Missal, that the theology of the 62 Missal has to be brought into line with the theology of the Second Vatican Council. And I think the position that Rabbi Korn and I would take on this is that the dialogue has reached a level of maturity that when a potential problem like the 1962 Missal comes up, there can be open, frank dialogue and constructive criticism and then a mature searching for a solution. 25 or 30 years ago, I don't know that we were secure enough in the relationship that we could have had the kind of dialogue that's occurred these last 2 months since that motu proprio came out. So I'm confident that we will find a solution, but I'm most encouraged by the maturity that the dialogue has reached, that the issues could be constructively engaged between our two traditions.
Rabbi Korn, would you agree with that? I mean, there are groups within America, aren't there, Jewish groups, who are very worried about this?
Yes, there are, and some of them have, I think, unfortunately, in a non-helpful way, spoken to the media in unsympathetic tones. I do agree with Dr. Sinera. I think the greatness of the dialogue right now is that we are hearing each other as friends, and we're hearing each other in an empathetic way. And I'm also encouraged. I know that the officials in the Vatican understand the sensitivity of the Jewish community on this particular issue, and I view it as a bump in the road. In any relationship, there are instances of disagreement. The key is not whether we agree all the time. The key is what do we do when there are certain disagreements. And as Dr. Sinera said, the dialogue has matured to a position of understanding as well as trust to the level that when differences occur, they will be resolved in an amicable way, and I'm absolutely convinced that this will be too. And everything I hear from officials within the Vatican and officials within the Church in America indicates that.
I'm very confident about the contribution that Pope Benedict is going to make to taking the dialogue the next step. I think what we're absolutely convinced of is that you build a long-term relationship between the two traditions on friendship and trust as one pillar, and then on serious theological conversation and understanding. This Pope understands both of those pieces. The symbolic gesture of going to the synagogue in Cologne really cannot be underestimated, I think, as a very important and serious example to his commitment. The trip last year to Poland, and particularly to the concentration camps, was also very significant and came very early after his election. So those are, I think, very important signs. The relationships with individuals are there. There's friendships that have developed over time, and there's trust. And the next step requires serious theological work. And we have a person who understands the importance of serious theological work, who's now the Bishop of Rome. That's very important. had the good fortune of being in Poland with the Pope last year for the day in Auschwitz and Buchenau, and in a very close setting with him. He clearly was making a very important statement by going there, by spending the amount of time that he spent, by visiting with the people that he visited with, including, well, we had our private time was at the Center for Dialogue and Prayer that the Bishops' Conference has. When you think about his going to a place as important as Poland is and devoting almost 25% of his time in and around Auschwitz and the concentration camps, it's very clear that he was saying something loud and clear, not only to the church in Poland, but to the universal church and to the Jewish people. He understands the gesture and the symbolic action, and in his person is taking all the right steps that I can see about saying what was begun at the Second Vatican Council is certainly an important part of my agenda as I take the church the next step.
And I would say we also need to pay attention to what he said when he went to Auschwitz. He said very, very significant things. He said that, in effect, you know, for Hitler to deny God, he knew that he had to destroy the Jewish people first, that the Jewish people were witnesses to God's presence on earth. So what that meant to me as a rabbi of the Jewish people was that Pope Benedict believes and affirms that the Jewish people still have a living covenant with God, that the Jewish people are, in fact, God's witnesses, one of God's witnesses on earth. And I think that understanding says tremendous things for the future of dialogue. It means that we can enter into serious dialogue together with trust and maintain the integrity of each of our identities and faiths.
Is very significant too. The concern that Benedict has about the state of the world, especially the Western world, is a concern that is, I think, commonly shared among the best thinkers within Orthodox Judaism. And so the cultural analysis and the calling forth the resources within both of the traditions to help repair the world and to save humanity come from the same very deep rooted convictions. It's not only that this is a good thing to do for ourselves, but also it's a good and necessary thing to do for the sake of the whole world. And I think the best of the wisdom leaders in Judaism are saying the same thing that the Pope is saying about the cultural crisis that we're in and the way out of it, and the importance of a rediscovery of God, and therefore the dignity of human beings as being made in the image and likeness of God. So it comes from a very deep place of cultural analysis as well as theological conviction.
You're talking about Pope Benedict's reactions there in Auschwitz when he traveled there on his visit to Poland. At a very personal level, tell me about your feelings, what you think about when you go to a place like that.
Well, I'll tell you that this was the first time that I had been at Auschwitz. I had never been there before. My wife's family was totally destroyed. My wife's mother's family was totally destroyed at Auschwitz. My mother-in-law was the sole survivor of a family of nine. The other eight siblings, as well as her parents, were exterminated at Auschwitz. So it was the first time that I went there, and it was an emotionally overpowering for me to be in a place and to observe and to hear. It's a place of radical evil, of absolute evil, not only in terms of how many people died there, but to understand the demonic and satanic way the plan was devised to deny any shred of value of human life was overpowering. I, together with the bishops, stood for a few moments in the gas chambers at Auschwitz, just reflecting. It was a very powerful moment. And I can tell you that I can't remember another time in my life when I felt a deeper need to be a religious individual than the moment that I was at Auschwitz. No other time did I feel the need to believe in a higher spiritual power, that the world, there's something beyond the world of just death and cruelty and evil. And I think the challenge coming out of a place like that is not so much to have faith, but to have hope and to have trust. I think that's the great challenge, certainly for the Jewish people. Can we still be hopeful that the future will be better than the past? And can we heal our wounds enough so that we're able to trust? And I would say that that's just from a Jewish point of view, that's one of the greatest aspects of this developing relationship with the church. I think nothing will help us learn to trust more than the developing relationship as brothers with the Catholic Church around the world. What Dr. Sinera said is absolutely true. The relationship goes beyond simply the interests of the Jewish community and the interests of the church. I believe it's vital for the future of human civilization. But in Jewish terms, I would tell you emotionally and historically, this is an enormous moment because it will help us learn to trust, and I believe help us to fulfill our covenantal obligations to be a blessing to the world. I don't know if we can do it alone. We have a much better chance to do it in partnership with faithful Catholics and with the Church.
And my thanks there to Rabbi Eugene Korn, Executive Director of the Center for Christian-Jewish Understanding at Sacred Heart University, and to University President Anthony Sinera. The next Synod of Bishops for Africa may still be over 2 years away, but preparations are already underway for the meeting that will focus on the themes of justice, reconciliation, and peace. The gathering of church leaders from across the continent will come some 15 years after the last Synod for Africa and will explore the church's response to the present challenges of AIDS, conflict, and refugee crises. My colleague Linda Bordoni takes a closer look and hears from one Nigerian archbishop who'll be a key player at the forthcoming synod.
Preparations are already underway for the October 2009 Special Synod of Bishops for Africa. It was announced last June that the theme of the synod will be the Church in Africa at the service of reconciliation, justice and peace. The first Synod for Africa was held at the Vatican in 1994. It focused on the mission of the Church in the days leading to the 2000 Jubilee year. 10 years after this meeting, Pope John Paul II said he wanted another special synod for the continent to address its ongoing needs. And shortly after assuming the papacy, Pope Benedict XVI confirmed the convocation of the synod. Archbishop John Anayaken of Abuja, Nigeria, was recently in Rome for a pilgrimage.
We are going to talk about peace and reconciliation in Africa. And in Africa as a whole, Africa is a big place, you know. It's a huge continent. Some places, thank God, things are going well. Many places, effort is being made to recover peace and tranquility. And the church everywhere is serving the role of being promoters of peace and reconciliation. Our pilgrimage also has it in mind to pray for peace.
The Archbishop says there are many challenges facing the African continent.
For us now in Africa, we are challenged to a new evangelization that has to do with, let me put it differently, the church has come to stay in Africa. That is clear now. We have very strong Catholic Church in Africa, but we need to go further to have a church where the people are really good Christians and where the tenets of our faith are translated into good relationship with one another, with good governance, with struggle against corruption, and also bringing the African continent up to the standard of the world in the area of basic amenities, good health, good schools, and so on.
And although Africa faces many challenges, including poverty, the AIDS epidemic, and continuing conflicts, Archbishop Onayekan says the continent has a strong foundation in the family.
We are lucky in Nigeria that the family is still very strong, and people do their best to keep their family together. But the family is under pressure, not so much from ideological erosions, but rather from economic and social difficulties, so that parents find it difficult to look after their children, and sometimes the family is seriously challenged. So we do our best to let people know that despite the difficulties, we need to keep our families together, because without the family, we cannot go far.
The special Synod for Africa will occur from October 4th through the 25th in 2009.
And my thanks to Linda Bordoni there for that report on the next Synod of Bishops for Africa. And that's all from me, Philippa Hitchin, and from all of us here at the English programme of Vatican Radio. Join us again, if you can, at this same time tomorrow. Or don't forget, you can always find all our news and feature programmes on the internet. Look us up at www.vaticanradio.org/English. Stay tuned to Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.